Hello and welcome to episode 1 of the Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Justin Agar Pratt, and I'm the programs coordinator here at the Tower Heritage Center. So in this first episode, we're going to connect you with ways to take care of your family treasures. Now, one of our facets as a historical society is a collecting institution through our museum. And taking care of our artifacts is really important. And we want to pass on some best practices to you. Your quote-unquote stuff tells your story, and your family items may end up in a museum one day. Now, as of this recording, it's February. A lot of us in Wisconsin have been stuck inside over the past 2 days from a big snow and ice storm. And, you know, spring cleaning time is right around the corner, and some folks may have started already with being stuck at home. And as people are going through their spring cleaning and finding heirlooms or other things, they might run into some items and wonder, what do I do with this? How should I take care of it? How should I be storing it? Now, this is a big topic, and this episode is by no means going to be exhaustive. We're going to have some resources available in the show notes, so there will be some really good information there to point you in the right direction. If you have questions, please feel free to reach out. So the first thing to remember is, even in museums, the goal is to slow down deterioration, not to stop it. There's no way to stop deterioration or degradation of materials completely. Before we can talk about how to protect your objects, let's talk about the agents of deterioration, right? What we're trying to protect from. And then we'll get into some specific types of materials. So a lot of these are going to sound familiar. First of all, we have light exposure, specifically to UV light. UV light breaks molecules apart. And over time, this can cause things to either appear faded or dry and brittle. And it might not necessarily be because of the moisture content in the air or lack thereof. It's because of exposure to UV light. Temperature, right? You don't want things too hot. You don't want things too cold. You also don't want drastic temperature change. These effects are microscopic at first, but they can build and build over time. Moisture. You don't want things too wet. You don't want things too dry. Good rule of thumb, if you're comfortable, your objects are probably going to be comfortable. We have impact and physical damage. So this comes from movement, touching, dropping, scratching. If you don't want something to break, if you don't want that physical damage, good rule of thumb, it might sound easy or like a no-brainer, but don't touch it. Pests. First of all, if you have pests affecting your objects, you've got a bigger issue, right? But you want to keep an eye on things, especially things that are packed away, maybe in basements or attics, garages. Unpack them at least once a year. Make sure there's nothing in there chewing on it. And dust. Now, dust might seem like more of an inconvenience than something that can damage your objects, but under a microscope, if you take dust particles, they look like a bunch of sharp, tiny objects, and over time, those microabrasions can build up. Dust also attracts water, so you can get water damage on an object just from the moisture contained in the dust. An easy solution, if you don't want it to get dusty, cover it up. Put it under glass, put it in a frame, put a slip cover over it, something to keep the dust off of it. Okay, so let's talk about how to protect specific kinds of materials. These are things that we get asked a lot about. Again, not exhaustive, but the most common things that you're gonna run into, especially in your home. Paper. The big thing is you wanna keep it stable. Mold is an issue. Silverfish, which are bugs that we have a lot here in Wisconsin, they love paper and they love damp locations. So you can help protect paper by storing it in archival folders or in polyester sheet protectors if the paper is stable. Just remember, polyester or plastic,
can cause static and wear off surfaces. So just be conscious of that when you're storing things in those plastic sheet covers. Now, I mentioned archival folders earlier. Let's dig into the term archival quality for a second. You usually hear this when people are talking about storing documents and photos and things like that. So something is considered archival when it's chemically stable right after it's manufactured. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to become acidic or unstable over time. It just means that it's considered stable right out of the factory. If something is acid-free, that means the manufacturing process hasn't added any extra acid. And they've often added an alkaline buffer to reduce the acid. Now again, that doesn't mean it can't become acidic. Just right now, brand new out of the factory, it's not. Okay, so when you see something that says it's archival quality, that's what it means. Tissue paper is something we're going to talk about a little bit, with storing things. And you've got two different types of tissue paper. You've got buffered and unbuffered. So unbuffered is acid-free and without additives. It's safe for everything. So when in doubt, use unbuffered tissue paper. Buffered tissue paper has an extra alkalizing agent added to it to help reduce acidic content even more. The problem comes when you're using it with animal products, right? Leather, fur, silk. This alkaline agent can cause damage. So again, good rule of thumb, when in doubt, use unbuffered. With paper objects, keep them flat, right? Don't fold them. And whatever you do, do not laminate. Laminate will never come off, and the adhesive gives off gases and also at the same time traps those gases that will degrade the paper over time. Newspapers. Modern newspapers are highly acidic. When you look at older newspapers, they used more rag content than wood pulp. And often if you hold up, you know, a piece of newspaper from the early 20th century compared to something, you know, from the 80s forward, there's a good chance that that older newspaper is actually going to be in better shape than the newer one. If you're going to be storing newspapers, store them with acid-free barriers in between. And this isn't just newspapers. This is any paper item or document, right? You can use tissue paper or an acid-free cardstock. And you're not going to completely stop that degradation, but you're going to keep, you know, all of the other pieces of paper from causing the other ones to deteriorate. Let's move on to books, sort of related to paper. They have paper as part of their contents. You want to store books upright, tight enough on the shelf that they're sturdy, but not so tight that you can't grab them from the middle of the spine. Whatever you do, don't take a book off the shelf by the top. We've all seen those books, maybe on your own shelf at home, maybe at the library. You can tell people have grabbed the book from the top of the spine to pull it off the shelf because it's got that little loose, you know, flippy part on the top of the spine. So you want to make sure you grab it from the middle. Try and avoid direct sunlight. Now, if you can't do that, you can put UV protectant on your windows. It's inexpensive. It works really well. You can, you know, go out to Ace Hardware, Menards, Home Depot, and it's easy to apply. Typically lasts 5 to 10 years. So this isn't going to be like an annual project you have to do with your windows. With books, try to avoid basements, attics, any damp conditions. Now, if you have books that are already damaged, but you still want to hang on to them, there are two different ways you can store them safely. One is to store it in what's called a phase box. This is a customized box made of archival cardstock, and we'll have directions on how you can make your own in the show notes. Or if you have a book, let's say the spine is completely ripped to tatters and it's, you know, all the pages are loose in the book, put it together, you can tie it with cotton twill tape. And you just want to tie it loosely, one piece going vertically, one piece going horizontally. you can find Twill tape at your local craft store. Large books, think like coffee table books, old family Bibles, ledgers, or damaged books, should lie flat. You don't want those standing up. Let's move on to photos now. And I'm sure you're all aware of this rule, but you want to keep your fingers off the photo, no matter what type of photo it is. The oils on our skin wear off the shiny emulsion layer that protects that photo. You want to keep them away from direct sunlight. And one important thing to note about sunlight, it changes throughout the year, right? As the seasons change, so too does the position of sunlight in your living room. You know, if you put something out in the summertime and you're really careful to make sure that, you know, it's not in direct sunlight, come winter or throughout the year, it might be sitting in direct sunlight. If you have photos that you want to put out and you can't avoid the sun, you can get UV glass. It can be a little more expensive, but it will help save that photo. And you also want to keep your photos away from moisture. Let's talk a little bit about Instamatics or Polaroid photos. A lot of people have these in their family photo collections. So when these photos are taken, and actually they're kind of coming back in style now as, I don't know, not a gimmick, but like a fun little way to take pictures. When you take that picture, the film goes through the rollers, which release chemicals inside the photo that causes the photo to develop. Well, the chemicals from that developing process are trapped inside and will continue to break down. Your best bet is to scan and digitize these types of photos. So any sort of instant developing photo, no matter what brand or type, scan it, digitize it. Now, remember, when you're digitizing something, whether it's video or photos or documents, just think about the fact that you're going to have to continually be able to access that information, right? As software changes, as hardware changes, as all of those things continue to upgrade and update, just keep thinking about that, right? If you're storing any sort of photos or information in a digital form that maybe is about to stop being serviced, you're going to need to upgrade that. So just think about that when you're digitizing things. You can store photos in archival photo boxes or albums. Try to avoid those magnetic pages. I'm sure we all have family photos that are in them. If you can't picture what I'm talking about, it's those photo albums where you take the photo, you stick it on the page, and then you put that plastic sheet that's attached over it. First off, the adhesive that sticks the photo to that page gives off chemicals that will damage the photos. Now, if you already have that and the adhesive hasn't dried out and your photo is stuck on there, at least take the plastic sheet off so that the photos aren't trapped in there with those chemicals. Eventually, that adhesive is going to dry up, those photos are going to peel right off, and then they'll be safe again. Whatever you do with your photos, make sure you label them. Your descendants will thank you, especially if they're going through your photos for a funeral photo board. If a photograph is a modern photo, you can write on the back in Sharpie. Otherwise, you can use Micron pens, and you can find those at hobby stores. Really, anything with pigment ink is something that won't fade. So, you know, label who's in the photo, when it was taken, maybe where, or if it's, you know, a holiday or an event that's not obvious from the photo. So those are photographs. Let's move on to textiles. You want to keep any textiles in cool, dark, pest-free locations. Again, this is something where you want to check for pests every once in a while. Try to avoid basements and attics. If you've got something made of a non-stretchy material, you can use padded hangers. And if you don't have those, I'm going to put a how-to guide in our show notes that you can easily make your own. And using padded hangers is going to help you avoid stress points. I'm sure you've all pulled something out of your closet that you don't wear all the time. You take it off the hanger, and maybe in the shoulders, you've got those little points from where the hanger was. So padded hangers are going to help you avoid that. If you've got anything that's damaged or stretchy or really heavy, like a heavy dress or something like that, you'll want to get yourself some archival boxes that are large enough to store these items without crowding. You want to pad any creases with tissue paper. If you don't have tissue paper, you can use an old sheet, old bed sheets. Just make sure they don't have dye that could leach out. So under each fold, you just want to pad those out, including sleeves, right? Stuff the sleeves with some padding to help avoid creases on the edges. And then, you know, once a year, pull them out, check for pests, and just move them a little bit to avoid permanent creases. The second to last material that we're going to talk about is silver, right? You've got your family silver, maybe in a hutch or in a cabinet. You maybe pull it out once a year for Thanksgiving or something like that. Or maybe you just display it. We'll talk about that too. So most silver is silver plate, which is a thin layer of silver over a base metal. Every time you polish that silver, you're wearing away a bit of the silver layer along with whatever tarnish that you get rid of. And tarnish is caused by sulfur molecules in the air. There's no way to prevent this, but there are ways to slow it down. First of all, if this is silver that you're using at meals, try to avoid acidic foods, right? Think tomato sauces, etc. Make sure after you're done using them for meals, you hand wash them, and then wear gloves after washing to avoid fingerprints. Let's talk about polishing. Commercially available polishes are typically pretty harsh and abrasive, and they advertise, you know, easy cleanup. Well, the reason that cleanup is easy and you get to avoid that extra scrubbing is because they're abrasive by nature. Use calcium carbonate. You can buy this on Amazon. You mix it with distilled water, and you want distilled water so that there aren't other minerals present. Mix the calcium carbonate with the water till you have like a cream. Use circular motions with a cotton swab or cotton balls, and this is going to take less of that silver layer off. You're going to have to polish, you know, a little longer or a little more, but it's going to be worth it to keep that in better shape. Maybe you just display your silver. You could take it to a conservator who will put a non-food safe lacquer on it. So again, make sure if you take this to a professional conservator, it's not something you're going to want to pull out and use because that lacquer is not going to be food safe. Maybe you display it and you use it for food, right? You use it once a year or for special occasions. Just try to put it in a hutch or a case that's as airtight as possible to protect from the sulfur in the air. Some people just store their silver. They don't use it to eat off of. They don't display it. You can store this in silver cloth. And this is a soft fabric that's impregnated with zinc and silver molecules. And the zinc and the silver act as a sacrifice. So they catch the sulfur, and the zinc and the silver in the fabric is what tarnishes rather than the silver. Now, again, there's no way to completely prevent that tarnishing, so you just want to make sure you replace that silver cloth every few years. Storing your silver with, you know, silica gel around it, you know, in those little packets that you sometimes get in like shoes, can help with moisture control. And actually, silica gel you could put, you know, around any of these things that you're storing for moisture control. Okay, the last materials we're going to talk about are ceramics, glass, and stone, and we can kind of lump all of these together. These are pretty stable, the most stable materials that we've talked about. The most common damage is really from physical damage, like dropping. So, but there are some other things you want to do. You want to avoid dramatic temperature changes, especially with ceramics. If it goes from hot to cold, hot to cold, hot to cold, it gets really small hairline cracks that can then stain. So if you have some old ceramic dishes and you notice kind of a graying area at the bottom, that's probably what that's from. If you're storing, you want to store them with padding in between the pieces. Use tissue paper, not newspaper, because the newspaper will degrade over time. Watch your weight when you're stacking these things, because everything at the bottom of that stack is going to have to hold all of the weight of whatever's on top of it. So just be conscious about that. Try to keep it out of direct sunlight, especially glass that's either red or orange. That tends to fade the quickest. And any of these things, you want to wash by hand with warm water and mild soap. So the takeaways are these. Control what you can, right? Do what you can to reduce light. If you can't keep something out of direct sunlight, use either a UV frame or UV film on the windows. With temperature, cooler temperature is typically better. You want to try and reduce the moisture without the moisture of the air getting, you know, without things getting too dry. Again, with temperature and moisture, if you're comfortable, your objects are probably pretty comfortable. Try and reduce physical damage by not handling things as much. You want to make sure you control pests. So if things are packed away in boxes, just inspect them annually. Again, spring cleaning is coming up. Good time to take a look at those things. Remove dust if something is sitting out, and make sure to physically support objects. Try and, you know, have them sitting on something level, or if they need more structure, you know, doing the things that we've already discussed. So that's a little bit about taking care of your family treasures. We hope you enjoyed this first episode. We'll be releasing episodes covering all sorts of historical content every 2 weeks.
Again, I'm your host, Justin Agar Pratt, and I want to thank you for joining me for this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time.